This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
So today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord and are ending the Christmas season and transitioning into ordinary time. So technically, you're okay, liturgically speaking, having your Christmas tree out until Monday. So we're still in the Christmas season. Now we have a window that shows the beautiful scene from today's gospel, the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. And we have the image of the Father and the Holy Spirit and the dove. And so these words, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And then when we have the transfiguration later on, the words are added, "Listen to him." So we have the voice of the Father showing up at various moments there at baptism and there at the transfiguration. Now, when we are baptized, a couple things are said. One is we renounce sin and Satan and his seductions. And we also acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we believe in his church. So there's a renunciation and then a profession, an acknowledgement. So I want to talk a little bit about how the world works and how the world is discussed in Scripture, especially in the Gospel and the first letter of John. So we see the mention of the world as the theater of redemption and a good place. "For God so loved the world," meaning, of course, the people, the souls he created, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might have life." But we also see a contrast throughout the gospel, this contrast between God and the world, light and darkness, truth and lies, the flesh and the spirit. And it's sometimes called ethical dualism. And it's a very interesting kind of unique characteristic of John's writings. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, I remember reading the first time I was about 16 years old, and I was reading the Bible. We had study hall at my high school, St. Mary's in New Jersey. And I was using it to try to read my way through the Bible. I finally got to the first letter of John. And I remember reading the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 19. And I remember reading this, and I just sat back for a minute and tried to figure out what it was saying. It says, "We know we belong to God, and the whole world is under the power of the evil one." Now, I didn't have anyone to explain that to me, and I sat back and I said, "The whole world is under the power of the evil one?" And I started thinking, well, I got good people here. My teachers are good people, generally. The kids, I just started trying to figure it out. You know, what's the deal with that? So as I got older, I began to start to understand a little bit better about what that means. So a few years ago, a fellow named Michael Medved wrote this book called Hollywood versus America. And in it, he talks about how many of the people that are making TV shows, movies, even commercials, whatever, they're out of touch with the rest of the people in America. They have a kind of agenda, and they interject it into, you know, the words that are found, you know, in the TV shows and the movies and the commercials. You know, there's a certain anti-God secular mentality that's in there, that, you know, God isn't there, and if he is, he's stupid, and the promotion of immodest dress, the ridiculing of the virtues of chastity and humility, and kind of an upside down thinking. And the problem is this 1% that controls the media, and I have to make a disclaimer, because I've gotten trolled for this before, because I sometimes paint with this broad brush, and I talk about how evil all the politicians are, and the news media, and the TV. I'm saying that in a general way. Obviously, there's good actors, there's good movies, okay, you know, there's good news people, you know, but in general, we have to understand that there is a portion of it that's very corrupt. very much in direct opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to our baptismal promises. And so we need to be aware of what's going on. You know, and if you haven't already noticed, now having lived as long as I have, not that I've lived that long, but I've been around since the 60s, and I can tell you, you know, watching Gilligan's Island and F Troop, you know, and it wasn't such a bad show. In fact, I still occasionally watch little snippets of it on YouTube or something like that, remembering the good old days. But then you look at the shows now and you think, what is going on? So these people, you have to realize every word and every image that you see on TV, in the movies, wherever, whenever, magazines, is put there by a person. And many of those people that are there involved in politics and the media and the big tech companies that control stuff on the internet, they're not your average person going to church and believing God. Most people believe in God. A large portion, a disproportionate number of them, do not. And so they are attempting to give you spiritual propaganda of evil, to try to get you around to their position. And so I was thinking about, you know, how nuts does it have to get for us to recognize it's nuts? I'll tell you how nuts it has gotten. The U.S. Congress, which theoretically is supposed to be looking out for us, doing good things to make life better, what did they do recently within the past couple weeks? They banned in Congress the use of the word father and mother and son. So if I go into the Congress and attempt to say our Father who art in heaven, I guess I'd be ruled out of order. If I attempt to quote the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. If I mention God's son, I'm out of order. I mean, is that not nuts? When you, who are these people that think like this? You've got a select group of noisy radical feminists that hate God, hate the image of the Blessed Mother and her position as a wife and mother and a humble servant of God, and they hate any service of God. They hate humility, the virtue of humility. They want pride and worldly power, and they're against God. And so somehow this small group has the biggest megaphone going, okay? They're making a lot of noise, and they're trying to make us think that we're the weirdos. Guess what? They're the weirdos, okay? People come to me and say, Father, you know, the church is out of touch with the world. It always has been. Because we read here what? First letter of John. We know that we belong to God, and the whole world is under the power of the evil one. What else do we read in John's words, written almost 2,000 years ago? You belong to God, children. You have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world. Accordingly, their teaching belongs to the world, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God. We listen to God. So we find this mentality, this approach here, of a way of thinking that is so contrary. Here's another one. This is another doozy from the first letter of John. I encourage you to read the first letter of John. This is chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its seductions are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. So there's always been this opposition. How did the world treat the creator of the world, the creator of all of the people, and the savior of the world? How did the world treat him? Well, there it is, right there. Crucified. The church and the state, Caiaphas, the high priest, Pontius Pilate, the head of the local state, unite together and murder the sinless Son of God. What was he guilty of? Walking around the countryside, healing people, healing lepers, giving sight to the blind, giving the ability to walk to cripples, raising people that had died from the dead, proclaiming the love of God and the truth of God. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what is the message of the world? The opposite. The world is the wrong way. The world is not the truth. It is lies. It is deceit. It is darkness. And the world is not life. It is bringing death. So again, we need to make a distinction. There's the world in the good sense, the people and the good people that are in it, and the good stuff that's going on. And then there's the world in a sense that has a spirit and a mentality and a force that comes in words and actions that militates against the Spirit of God and the message of the gospel. So we read here, I put it up on the wall. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness grasped it not. Now I like that particular translation, because some translations have the darkness has not overpowered it, indicating the struggle between the light and the darkness, and also the darkness does not comprehend it, because the world doesn't. A lot of times people in the world are like, the church doesn't make any sense. It's not, because they're thinking so much in the mentality of the world, they cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit, because they're so much entrenched and connected to the flesh. So we need to understand, people will throw this at us. Oh, Father, you're out of touch with the world. Thank God, because the world is nuts, okay? Take the average person. Let's survey the whole country, okay? I haven't done it, but let's just say I think I'm on the right track here. How many people do you think, if you ask them, do you think it's wrong to use the word father and mother or son and daughter? Do you think, they say, what's wrong with that? The average person would say that. So the U.S. Congress, okay, how much out of touch with the people of the United States are they? We're supposed to be what? The government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Not the rich and powerful and the absurd thinking elite and, eccentrics. So again, my exhibit A for tonight's point that, the world is growing more and more bizarre and evil since the 60s. A lot of things happened in the 60s, weren't too bad. Some TV shows, some music, pretty good. I still enjoy it. But there was a certain, I would say, a seed in a sense that was planted in the 60s. It has matured into this incredible evil tree of corruption. And now we see bizarre things happening. Attacks on the family, attacks on the design and structure of the family, a mother and a father. Oh, no, we can't have that. Oh, we can't even use the word mother and father, excuse me. And, we can't recognize a child in the womb. We got to call it something else. Don't call it a child. Oh, no, not that. So the evil is becoming more and more manifest. And so is the good, for that matter. We've had what's good that's been happening in the world? We have had a powerful trend throughout the world towards increased Eucharistic adoration that the church, I think, has never seen in its 2,000-year history. We have had an increase in Marian devotion, the rosary. The early church, had little portions of the rosary. They had the angelic salutation. But they didn't quite have what we have now. They had prayer beads. They would say our fathers, and they would say, the first two parts of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The last part was added during the Black Plague because people thought they were going to die. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Which we think might be pretty soon because a lot of people died during that. So let me tell you. You can pray with a lot of devotion if you think you're going to die soon. I bet you can, Nearness to death tends to increase faith and devotion. It's an amazing thing. Pain does it too. Let's try to remember the Lord when we're prospering. So as we reflect on the baptism of Jesus, what happened right after that? Have a little party, some pizza, some nice bread. No. Goes out into the desert, is tempted by the devil for 40 days fasting. Okay? He went right into combat, spiritual combat. And so baptism puts us into being soldiers of Christ. Confirmation builds on what you get at baptism and strengthens it. So when you're baptized, the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. which means I am connecting you to, I am initiating a relationship, a permanent bond between your soul and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who created you, and they will now dwell within you, giving you grace, the forgiveness of original sin and any other sins you may have committed up until that time, and making you a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then at confirmation, what are the words? Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing goes on your forehead. When you read in the Old Testament, we see that King David was anointed by the prophet, and oil was poured on his forehead, and it said, from that day on, the Spirit of God rushed upon him. So the Spirit of God rushing upon our soul, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming within us at baptism, receiving the sacred body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in Holy Communion, giving us spiritual nourishment. When we commit sins, we go to confession, and we get, in a certain sense, rebaptized. You don't get baptism once. It's a sacrament you only receive once. But Holy Communion and confession, you can receive again and again. And so the beauty of the sacrament, the beauty of the faith, it's important for us to recognize that. And so, you know, the scripture talks about how our faith overcomes the world. It's in the first letter of John. And here it is, chapter 5. I wasn't sure if I was going to find it, but I found it. Chapter 5, first letter of John. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So we're conquering the world, and we're conquering it with our faith. How is that? Because the world is connected to, on a spiritual level, the bad part of the world. Not the good part, because again, this is a good aspect of the world. So we're talking about the bad part, the part that goes against God, the part that brings darkness, the part that brings lies and death and attacks the faith. Okay? We're at war, and we conquer it through our faith, through prayer, through keeping the commandments, is what it says. Again, I encourage you, read the first letter of John. It's one of the greatest books in the Bible, in my opinion. Of course, I'm a little biased towards John the Apostle. He's my favorite. But in any event, I think you'll find the first letter of John very informative. And we need to keep things in perspective. When you're out there in the world, on the internet, on the TV, in the movies, watching commercials, looking at magazine covers, remember, that probably is not coming from heaven. Probably coming from hell. Okay? Not all of it, a lot of it though. Corruption, and it's meant to attack your faith. And so what is it we have to conquer that evil that comes at us from all sides to weaken our faith, to confuse us about the commandments and the service of God? Our faith. Our faith in the Word of God, our faith in teachings. Jesus came to conquer the world. After his baptism, he was tempted for 40 days in the desert. He never sinned. He never gave in. Mary never sinned. Oh, Mary conceived without sin, pray for us to have recourse to you. Those are the words on the miraculous medal. Mary's the Immaculate Conception prepared by God to replace the sinless virgin Eve. She's the new Eve. Jesus is the new Adam. So just as the first Adam and first Eve brought us into this world of sin and suffering and death and pain, so too the new Adam, with the prayers and the help of the new Eve, bringing us into the new world. For the world with its seductions and lies is passing away, but the man who does the will of God will abide forever with God in paradise.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina, on Carolina Catholic Radio, AM 1270, also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app.